Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the scripture has said, we bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. Every day we bless the Lord. Father, we thank you. For this purpose, you created us to have continuous and eventually eternal fellowship with you. Our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning for the beginning of a new week, Lord. Now we know the angel of your presence has gone before us into it, Lord. And we have been assured that you are with us always, even to the very end of the world. Lord, we thank you for the gathering together here this morning. The Bible says unto you that the gathering of thy people be, Lord. So we know you are in the midst this morning because your word says so. So we are trusting you, Lord, that you bless the reading of your word this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 17, the first verse. Genesis 17, the first verse. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, in the Hebrew language, that word Almighty God means El Shaddai. That's what it means. El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one, or the God who is more than enough. Mm-hmm. So this morning, El Shaddai, the subject, El Shaddai, it's one of the seven covenant names through which God revealed himself to Israel. Well, the King James Version call it, Almighty God, or translate the El Shaddai to the Almighty God. Whether that is called a good, being Almighty God means what? It means that, it means that the all-sufficient one, so that's good too, but that's the rendering in Hebrew, the El Shaddai, you know. So, and it's the God that is more than enough God. So, when we see him that way, all things become possible to us. Throughout the Old Testament, the Almighty God revealed himself and unveiled himself as the God who is more than enough. And we take a peek in the scripture this morning to see how he did it in many places. You can't cover it all this morning. To Abraham, he said in Genesis 15, 13, that was it to Abraham. He had been telling Abraham that his seed, God will give him a child of his own, or this Eliezer, and so on, is my heir. Did not know that's not your heir? He are going to give you your own heir from your own body, through your own wife, and so on. How do I know this? And some of that, you know, then the Lord said in Genesis 15, 13, how do I know this, Abraham? You know what? Abraham said in Genesis 15, 13, God said, know of a surety that our seed, see now, your seed, your own very seed, you know, shall be as a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great strength. And God for casting the future of Israel right there to their father Abraham and so on, that you know. So now, did it come to pass? Of course it came to pass. Many Bible passages, you know, gave us the fulfillment of that scripture. I'm going to jump to Psalm 105, the 23rd verse, that tells us how this thing came to pass. Many Bible verses say it as well. Israel also came into Egypt. God said they will be there, right? See, a land that is not there, right? So Psalm 105 summarizes it. Many other passages of Bible summarize it. And Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob also joined the land of Ham. Yeah, in a land which wasn't theirs, right? As God said. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servant. Just as God told Abraham, he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. 37th verse. Skip all that they went through, all those wonders, I skip those ones. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. What did he tell Abraham? Say he will bring them after war with a great substance, right? Now the Bible says, and it came to pass exactly as the Almighty God said. Came out. So, I told them that, you know. Now, what happened to them? On their way out, you know, they arrived at the Red Sea. And meanwhile, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. God himself hardened his heart. He went after them with his chariot, intending to recapture them and made them to be continued slaves forevermore and so on. What he thought, in his heart and so on. So at the Red Sea, what happened to the children of Israel? You know, behind them were the chariots of Pharaoh. And before them was the Red Sea. On one side of them were the mountains. The other side of them were the wilderness. What are they going to do? What will the children of Israel do? Well, being so afraid, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And not only that, and they blamed Moses for bringing them out of Egypt. Human nature, right? Exodus 14:13, let me read from there. And Moses said unto them, while they were so afraid by the Red Sea, they were so afraid, like many of God's children today, events will come around you that makes you be afraid, right? And some of that, you know. Anyway, and the Bible says, and they blame Moses. Then Exodus 14:13 says, and Moses said unto the people, here are ye not? You can take all this care for yourself today where you see the circumstances. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Bible, God says, praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, just at that moment, when I said that, the God, who is more than enough, spoke to Moses and said, in verse 16 of the same chapter of Exodus 14, lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And the Bible tells us that when Moses did so, the waters of the Red Sea parted long enough for the children of Israel to go across on dry ground. They were delivered. God delivered them. And when the Egyptian army, of course, attempted to do the same thing, the Bible said they were drowned in the depth of the sea. The scriptures said God divided the water. Moses said the rod, right? Bible says the Lord God Almighty divided the waters and so on, and called them to walk in the sea on dry ground. Let's see how God did it. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. God divided it, right? And here is their tongue when they cross over the Jordan. The Red Sea. Here is their tongue. Exodus 15, 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel to bring out that God divided it. Even though Moses stressed, Moses and God have become one, really, you know. You know, so anyway, we are co-liberals together with him. Anyway, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and speak, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed. Who triumphed now? He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. Verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them. God did it. That rose up against thee. When people rise against God's people, you are rising against God, really, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thou stretchest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And watch this. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. I look up the word congealed dictionary. I think I suppose I know what it means, but here is what the dictionary says. By the word congeal, it says to change from a fluid to a solid state as by cold. So God froze that one. He patted it, and when Moses said he froze, and then it became like a wall. He just froze them on both sides, and they congealed. He froze them. He is the Almighty God to deliver his people. So anyway, So God froze both sides of the water, made each side stand like a wall. The Bible says, and the children of Israel walk across the sea on dry ground. Verse 9 says of Exodus 15, verse 9 says, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My law shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Amen. Verse 10 says this, thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. What is it we're talking about now? The Almighty God met the need of the children of Israel at that critical time. Why? He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Praise to the Lord. That's who he is. El Shaddai. God is more than enough. Throughout the journey to the land of Canaan, throughout that journey, you know, children of Israel, throughout that journey to Canaan, that God that is more than enough manifested himself to the children of Israel. Let's see some of the other things that he did for them. The miracle of the giving of the manna. Exodus 16:2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Just at the Red Sea, right? And it's more inconvenient than murmur. You know, I don't know that, you know. They forgot all the affliction they go through for 400 years, right? And God brought them out. And the Red Sea, they murmur, they cry, and they murmur at Moses, and so that, you know, human nature, and so that, you know. They murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, who to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full? For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So you see, in this journey, that God called the people to journey, he already gave you the promise. He told Abraham right from the beginning that he will bring you out. The promise was there. And why the promise was in presence of fulfilling, he already come out of Egypt, and the flesh will still rage. And there will be trial, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that God does, you know, to people, there will be trial. He tried his people, he proved his people. They didn't like their lesson. They forgot the lesson of the Red Sea, right? That not to complain, not to murmur. That they try along the way in this journey. God has to try, has to prove everyone that he called. He tried, even Father Abraham was proved by God in many instances, right? So, you know, they haven't learned their lesson yet. You know? Anyway, Psalm 78 says this, verse 24 to 25. He rained down manna. You know, he rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full, just as he promised them. So Moses, I will rain down manna from heaven. And he fulfilled his word. Despite their agitation, despite their, their murmuring and so forth, he said, have mercy upon them. Rain down manna from heaven. Now let me tell you something. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible, you know, this miracle is, and so on. Let me give you a statistic right now. Elimination after this, the manna fell approximately 12,500 times from the 15th day of the second month after they are departing out of the land of Egypt. Exodus 16:1 says so. That is the second month when they left Egypt and so on. Now, from that time to when the manna ceased, the day after the Passover, on the 14th day of the month of the 48th year, you see, while they walked through the wilderness, when we counted and computed, that is in Joshua 5, I won't go to that way, Joshua 5, 6, and 12, when you compute it, it is exactly about 12,500 times, because on the Sabbath, they don't gather anything, right? So, and also because it's on the second month after they left Egypt, right? And then the 48th year, when they got to the promised land, so it was like, you know, you take 1 month out of that 40 and remove all the Sabbath days and they gather this thing, it's about 12,500 times. That manna fell. So why? Why is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, the God that is, who is more than enough. He fed them 12,500 times. Manna fell from heaven for the children of Israel and so forth. That's one of the miracles, that's one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. Of course, the dividing of the Red Sea was spoken of throughout all the scriptures and so on. Is that all that he did for them? The miracle of the clothes. Now, of course, we know it is normal for clothes to wear. You know, more than, you know, we buy clothes every year, change our clothes and so on like that, you know. But in the wilderness, there is no shopping center there, there are no malls in there. See, nothing. And yes, we're going to go 40 years. How are they going to do that? You know, what about it? Should they are walking in the hot sand, right? You know, should wear out quickly. So what are they going to do? So what are they going to do? Yeah, the God of more than enough was with them. So the answer was that the solution is this, that the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough was with them. So who, by a continuous miracle, preserved their garments and their footwear during the whole 40 years in the wilderness. He did it. Deuteronomy 29:5 says this, and and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and a shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Even Nehemiah said the same thing, chapter 9:21. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Don't you like that word? They lacked nothing, right? Their shoes, I mean their clothes, waxed not old, and their feet were not. I like that word, lacked nothing. Did the Bible tell us in the New Testament? The Bible said that to be patient and so forth, let patience have its perfect, its perfect place and all that, that we they lack nothing. You know, the same thing is the same God, right? Anyway, Psalm 105:39 says this. Part of the thing he did to them, this God of more than enough. In the desert, very hot in the night. And in the night, it is so cold. What are they going to do? They don't have, I don't know what kind of clothing they have, but, you know, to withstand the heat. And so what did he do to them? He helped them. Psalm 105:39. He spread a cloud for a covering, that to, for the heat of the sun. And fire to give light in the night. I also to warm them up too, because it gets so cold and the temperature will drop in the night in the desert. Verse 41 says, he opened a rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Where are you going to get water in the wilderness? The desert, right? And Bible says that we are told in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10:4, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. See? He is the same word, the Almighty God. Verse 42 says, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So as they were journeying on, he was with them, you know, fulfilling, you know, protecting them, providing for them. And when they got to the promised land, all kind of miracles took place there, Lord, and right there at the promised land. So I want to get one or two of them. So, I mean, Joshua has taken a fear. Why? On one side of Jordan, through the hand of Moses, 2.5 tribes got their own inheritance. That's Reuben and the Gad and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. They got their land on this side of Jordan before they crossed over. At the crossover, Joshua took hold, right? God changed gaps, you know. And Joshua became the new commander, you know, of the army of Israel and so on, the people of Israel and so forth, like that, you know. But God told those Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, you know what? Let your children be in your tents on this side of the Jordan. You men, you arm yourself, you have to go across the Jordan and fight with your brethren until they also got their inheritance. You see? I learned a lesson from that because, you know, it's one body and so on. So until we all get our portion, you can return back to your inheritance. But by the way, though. Anyway, so we see. So in their continued conquest of Canaan, the inhabitants of Gibeon decided to make peace. You know, there are different tribes in Canaan, right? So they decided to make peace with Israel. They are called the Gibeonites, right? And because of this, all the neighboring people around the Gibeonites, now five kings, now want to invade Gibeon because they made peace with Israel. Like it's happening today even, you know? When Egypt made peace with Israel, what happened? We know what happened to the Egyptian president, Abbasa. That was, you know what happened to him? Because he made peace with that kind of thing happening in the modern times. I don't know that, you know. Anyway, so the five kings around Gibeon now want to invade Gibeon because they made peace with Israel. And then Gibeon has now appealed to Joshua, please come and help us. So they have invaded us, these other five kings and so on. So anyway, what happened? So in Joshua 10 verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, all these five kings and so on, for I have delivered them into thy hand. No, throughout their journey, it was the Lord who was pitching in, who fought their battles for them. As we see them, just name one of them. This is Jericho, the word thereof. So the Lord who fought the battle for them. Let us learn to let the Lord fight our battles for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore come unto them suddenly, and went up from Giga all night. See, all night he went up to Giga. And the Lord, see who did the battle? And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, the Lord said. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. Look at this one. They were more which died with hailstone than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. What is it? He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough for the battle for his people and give them the victory all the way. Now even more of that, begin to get dark. And these kings, and they are chariots and so on, they know the terrain of the land. Israel are just coming to the promised land, and they don't know the terrain, they don't know the land. Now it's getting dark in this conquest, in this battle and so forth, you know. And if the night falls, then these people will just escape. And Joshua and the people can't find them, right? What will happen? Then, in Joshua 10:12, then speaks Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered all the Amorites, before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. See how the God who is more than enough, the all-sufficient one, the El Shaddai, intervened for his people all the time towards their journey in the wilderness. So let me see another example. He's the creator of the universe. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, he always says, stop! The Bible says so and so. Let me show another instance. He can even reverse time. He is constantly to stand still in the heavens, right? He can even reverse time. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus said the Lord, set a house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That was it. Thus said the Lord from the prophet. Then Ezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed that he was a good king really unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Bible says, and Ezekiel wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Ezekiel, thus said the Lord again, now, the God of David our father, I have heard a prayer, see? I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Chapter 7 says, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken, that he will preserve his life, has 15 more years to his life. What is the sign? Verse 8, behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahab, 10 degrees backward. Bible says, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Yeah, he stopped it one time, time of Joshua. He reversed time, this time around for Ezekiah. He's the creator of the universe. See? So we see, the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, the God that is, who is more than enough, stopped the whole universe at the command of a man of faith by the name of Joshua, and reversed time for a king who knew how to pray, Ezekiel. See? The wonders of our God is the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. Time will fail us to tell of many more men, women, patriarchs, prophets, priests, and kings throughout the Old Testament by whom this El Shaddai, this Almighty God, this All-Sufficient One, this God that is more than enough, revealed himself in supplying the very needs of his people, including supernatural supply, defending them, and protecting them. Time will fail us to name all of them. So in the Old Testament and so forth. Let's jump to the New Testament. Then came the time foretold by the prophets also, when this El Shaddai, this Almighty God, this all-sufficient one, this God who is more than enough, stepped out of his habitation in eternity and appeared on earth to redeem humanity. Yeah, that's where he dwells. Prophecy said that Isaiah 57, 15, he dwells, you know, he said, for thus said the I and the lofty one, that inhabited eternity, that's where he came from. Not only that, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also, as is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. He that believeth on me, the Father and I will come and take our abode in him. He told us in the New Testament, when he came over here, like I said, coming out of eternity and came here and told us, you know, take our abode in him. We are all witnesses today. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the temple of the living God. The Bible says, I will walk in them. I will walk in them. He's been doing it for 2,000 years now in his people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What it is, the Creator visited mankind. Mankind be the head of his creation. John 1:10 says so. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He revealed his identity many times in the Bible to the Jews in John 14:9. We're talking about the Father a lot, right? Then he hid the name on the head in many places in John 14:9. He that has seen me has seen the Father, he said. He told the Jews in another place, John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, people just read that thing to the face. It's deeper than what many people think. We know when it appeared to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, and Moses asked the Lord what he was to tell the children of Israel in Egypt, the name of their fathers who had sent him, Moses, to deliver them from the Egyptian bondage. So what did the Lord tell him in Exodus 3 verse 14? And God said unto Moses, tell them, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. So what is he telling them? I mean, it's different than what people are thinking. It's not telling the Jews, essentially, that I am that God. You are looking at God right now. You see? You know? And that what he was telling them before Abraham was, I am. That's what he was saying. And he demonstrated in his earthly work that he is the great God, I am. El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough. Telling them, they didn't understand him. They are blinded, couldn't see him. But he told them anyway. Now, going forward now. In 3.5 short years before his death and the resurrection the third day for the redemption of mankind, we are told that in John 21:25, 3.5 short years, hear what he did. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the whole world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Bible put in there. You know? So we see him right there. El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One. See? The God is what I know. So you can't even check if you have been right in 3.5 short years, all that he did. Can't even all the books written in the world can't even contain that song, you know. Let's look at one of the things he did at one time. You know, there was an occasion when he and his disciples were far out in the wilderness with a multitude who come to hear him preach, saw his miracles and so forth. And the people had been without food for a couple of days and were almost fainting from hunger. Then the Lord said to one of his disciples by the name of Philip in John chapter 6 verse 5, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? And this is said to prove Philip, we are told, for himself knew what he would do. We are talking about the El Shaddai, right? The Almighty God. The God who is more than enough. The All-Sufficient One. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread, not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? See? Who might they say, what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make them sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, the Lord, the Bible says, so the men sat down. In number, about 5,000, the Bible said, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would, no matter how much to eat, as much as they would. See? Why? And when they were filled, verse 12 says, he said unto the disciples, gather out the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Why? He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough. Your 5 loaves. He is the one fed them at one time. Told the Jews. Okay. And Moses gave that bread in the wilderness. My father gave that bread in the wilderness. He told them. And if you think the same miracles here, they couldn't even see it, you know, in another form. But on another occasion, way out again in the wilderness, the Lord said to his disciples in Matthew 15:32, I have compassion on the multitude. He does things by compassion, right? You know, whether it is healing, he does because of compassion, you know? He said, he took the, he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. I have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now, looking around, only 7 loaves and few small fishes were available around, you know, the whole multitude right there. Bible says, only 7 loaves and few small fishes. Now, 36 verse says this. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks always. You know, he did. And break them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, just like he did before in the case of the 5,000. But 37 verse 6. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. See him there? So not only the 5,000, but even another 4,000 plus. He is El Shaddai. What I'm talking about, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, and the God who is more than enough. Another time in his ministry, one of the first miracles or public miracles, I will say, that he performed in John chapter 2, verse 1. And there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Verse 5 says this. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. I always like that. I wish God people just do whatsoever the Lord said. You cannot but get results when you do what the Lord said to do. Praise the Lord. Not only for that, anything to do, if you do it, you get results. We can go through the scriptures and show you that one and some of that one, but say, do it. Verse 7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, right there, miracle, right? The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Verse 10 says, and he said unto them, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when they have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. In fact, the wine tasted different. We know the Lord did not provide alcoholic wine. We know that for sure. You know, I think we know that. Anyway. And it was the best wine that any man can ever produce. Why? In the midst of shortage, whether it's in the wilderness and so forth, and whatever, the God, the same El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, the God who is more than enough, always there for his people, and will provide and make provision for whatever is lacking, all the time he will do it for his people and so on. One time, you know, talking about the El Shaddai and so on, what he did in the New Testament and so on. You know, the books, it can't contain all he did. Just pick certain thing that he did in the Bible and so on. So in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, and it came to pass that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. See that one again, all the time. Whether it is hungry, whether it is naked, whether it is sinner, always by compassion. You see? And he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not, see? And he came, and touched the bier, he was a dead man. And he that bear him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. I tell you, his mother is a prophet. Amen?
Amen.
To him, Bible says, all the prophets give witness. Acts 10:43. Mother is a prophet. No? All the other prophets, they give him witness. That is Acts 10:43. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, the God that is more than enough. Peter Kajo can pair up the miracle that he did, the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000, paired up like that. Let's get another one about the raising of the dead. You know, what came to the Lord Jesus at one time, one day that his friend Lazarus was dying. But he purposely tarried a few more days before making his way to Bethany, that is the home of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, his sisters. And of course, eventually, I think they said in Korea that, well, Lazarus has died and so forth, you know. Well, he told the disciples, Lazarus is now sleeping and so on, but you know, we know the story. Anyway, four days later, he made his way to Bethany. When Martha learned that he was coming, that's one of the sisters of Lazarus, right? She ran out to meet the Lord, saying in John 11:21, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Likewise, even Mary, her sister, later in the same chapter 11:32 of John, when Mary was come there, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying the same thing unto him. Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. So, in level 32 of John, Martha said this, therefore that he has died, I like that statement, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it to thee. You know, I love that statement, even though he has been died, I don't know, but I know. But in 23rd verse says, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though you are dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The question that we ask today. 34th verse says, and the Lord said, where have you laid him? He said unto him, Lord, come see. 39th verse. Jesus said, take away that stone. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he sinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. But what is it? Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? That applies to thee. If you believe anything the Lord Jesus said, thou will see the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Any situation, any circumstances, that word is not limited to Martha or Mary. Any word that Jesus spoke and you acted on it, you will surely see the glory of God, even today. You see, as well as you know. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. What a lesson to teach us how to pray, and so on, that you know. And I knew that thou hearest me always. And that's a lesson to learn from the Lord. Because he said, as far as sent me, so I've sent you also. When you pray the prayer of faith, the Lord hear you always. Don't begin to doubt. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they believe that thou has sent me. And when it was thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So we see again, the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God that is more than enough, calling back from wherever he was, bringing back to life again. You see? So the Lord Jesus is the Almighty. Now I want to tell more of his wonders, his miracles. One time, outside of Jericho, one day, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was approaching, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That is in Mark chapter 10, the 47th verse, and the 51st verse of Mark 10. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. See, again, same walking there, the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough. So at one time, another blind man, in John chapter 9, I believe it is, was even born blind, you know, and so on like that, you know, never saw anything before. And the Lord Jesus created eyes for him. And so we see that there. So we can keep on going. And thus we see, again and again, how this El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough, answer the prayer for every conceivable need of his people and under every imaginable circumstances. He is always there for his people. He's there for you today. There for me today. As one is, I just pick a few of them in the Bible, both old and new, the same one. So that you know. Whether it was a deliverance from sickness, we can see he healed the sick, whatever it is, or a miracle of supply, he is the Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. See, the El Shaddai. No? Or preservation from danger. I have read it all morning long. No matter what the need was, this Lord Jesus, this El Shaddai, this Almighty God, this All-Sufficient One, the God, who is more than enough, supply it in answer to believing prayer. After Hezekiah, he even did many things for Hezekiah. Not only did he heal him, before his sickness, there were the Assyrians begin to blaspheme God. They have defeated all the neighboring countries. And they sent message to Hezekiah and so forth. Give all this and that, you know, to blaspheme God and so forth, you know. They are, he himself and Isaiah, they were contemporaries. And, you know, and he even wrote letters, threatening Hezekiah and so on. The man of God threw the letter to the temple of God and began to pray. And Hezekiah gave the prophecy and so on. Overnight, 185,000 soldiers of the Assyria, the Lord smite them before in the night and so on. Whether for deliverance, for protection, he is the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One. No matter what you need, no matter what I need, he is there for me and you, just as he did for his people in the Bible days. So, and all we have to do is to ask him to believe in prayer. The law of receiving is positive and certain. There should be no doubt of if and what. He said in another place, ask and you shall receive, he said. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh to him he shall be opened. That's a kind of a promise we'll be reading all the time before our prayers. And your faith will just move. And can move any kind of a mountain. The Lord says you will have when you ask and so on. Now, in finishing up here this morning, we've seen so many things that this Almighty God does. He's the All-Sufficient to us. Nothing is too hard for him. What is not possible with man is possible with God. But human nature, we see even among God's children, every so often, We talk about how wonderful the thing the Lord has done in the past. Then we stop that, then we speak to the future. What did we do? After that, we need the future and so on. And talk about how wonderful things we do in the future. We see the, but what about now? The truth of the matter is this. Things can be different now in your life and in my life if we believe this El Shaddai, this Almighty God, this God who is more than enough, even now. I like that matter. But even now, if you ask God for anything, now, faith is now. Now, faith, Hebrews 11, now, not tomorrow, now, faith is. See? So don't thank God for the, you know, for the past time. Thank God for the, what about now? So, see, it's a God of now. So what I was saying here, this is Shaddai, the truth is that, you know, so we say that now. So he didn't say that, he didn't say that I'm a God at work, you know. No. So he's not just a God of yesterday, he's a God of now too. Now I want to close with this scripture here. Psalm 46, verse 1, talking about now, right? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Not yesterday only, thank God for yesterday, not in the future. A very present help in trouble. See? He didn't say, I'm the God who was more than enough. He didn't say, I'm the God who will be more than enough. He said, I am El Shaddai. See? Yes. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the God who is more than enough. Blessed be His holy name. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, oh God, we know that we tell us we are not sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with Him, we can do all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go from here, resting solely upon Him, His word will never fail. You know, all things, whatever you ask in prayer, you believe in, you shall receive it. Say, you say all things. Asking in prayer, believe, you shall receive it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for our judge. We thank you for just read your word this morning. Now let the Holy Spirit begin to expand this into our hearts, Lord. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Lord will say, I will never fail thee. He already told you, I will not fail thee. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Lord, we believe your word, Lord. We thank you. Faithful is you as promised. Who also will do it. For I watch, whom I watch to perform it, said the Lord. As the rain cometh upon the earth, and causes to bring forth, you know, this half and so forth, so shall my word be the cometh of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. So I commit all the need represented here this morning for your hand, Lord. Having seen all these things, you know, Lord God, that our needs are met in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, commit all the needs to your hand. Spoken and unspoken request this morning, Lord. We are represented this morning, Lord, oh Father. Lord, thank you, Father. It's here they have. And you know what is in the mind of the Spirit. And you do make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we thank you this morning. He help our infirmities. We don't even know how to pray, Lord, as we ought to. And even we don't know how to pray for us and times. But the Spirit Himself help our infirmities. For all these things, we thank you, Lord. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He's the Lord. And He changed.